Okay. Welcome everybody to the Tuesday the 28th of April Ordinary Council meeting. Just advise that the Georgetown Council acknowledges the Palawa people from the Latarumera tribe from Port Dalrymple as the traditional custodians of the land. We honour and give thanks for the caring of country, seas and skies of Kinimath, Tikinta and surrounds. We pay respect to the elders past, present and future, for they hold the memories, the traditions, the culture and the hope of Pākehā people in Lutruwita. An audio recording is being made of the meeting today and every other day. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting. And language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. We'll start off. Today we've got present. Item one is who is present. Item 1.1 is apologies and leaves of absences. And we've currently got Mayor Greg Keyser and Councillor Tim Harris. Both on leave. In attendance today we have Councillor Winston Mason, Councillor Winston Archer, Councillor Heather Ashley, Councillor Simone Lowe, Councillor Jason Orr and myself. From a staff perspective we've got the GM Shane Power, Director of Corporate and Community Cheryl Hyde, Strategy, Performance and Development, Rick Dunn, the Director of Infrastructure and Operations, Andrew McCarthy. We've got the Senior Executive Assistant and Governance Officer, Louise Dickinson, ably assisted by Kirby Roach. Item 2 is a confirmation of minutes, and 2.1 is Ordinary Council meeting held on the 24th of March 2026. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason. And seconder, Councillor Ashley. Okay, Councillor Mason.
The minutes from the last meeting appear to be correct. Thank you.
Do we, Councillor Ashley?
Yeah, I find everything in the minutes correct as well.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? Take that as a no, and return it back to Councillor Mason.
I put the motion. Thank you.
Righto. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Unanimous. Thank you very much. Item 3 is late items. There are none. Item 4 is declarations of interest. Do any councillors have any declaration of interest they'd like to put forward? Take that as a no. Item 5 is public question time, and 5.1 is the public question time procedure. The period set aside for public question time will be at least 15 minutes. Questions given on notice will be addressed first, and there's one of those. Once questions on notice have been addressed, persons who have registered their interest to ask a question will be called to do so in order in which they are registered. At the moment, no other people have registered an interest for a question. Persons attending the council meetings will have the opportunity to register their interest to ask a question without notice prior to the commencement of the meeting, and council staff will be on hand to assist with this process. Participants cannot ask more than two questions in a row with a maximum of 2 minutes per question. If a person has more than two questions, they'll be placed at the end of the queue and may, if time permits, ask their further questions once all other persons have had their opportunity to ask questions. Persons who have not registered their interest to ask a question will be given the opportunity to do so following all of those that have registered. All questions must be directed to the chairperson. For further information on council public question time rules and procedure, please refer to the council, Georgetown Council Public Question Time Policy GTC 13. 5.2 is public questions on notice, and we have...
None on notice.
5.2. We have none. And the first one in public question time, which is commenced at 1:04, is Debbie Rainbow. She's got two questions. The first one is around the Georgetown area structure plan.
Mr. Chair.
Thanks, David.
Georgetown Area Structure Plan. In July 2021, the Council released a 57-page document called Georgetown Area Structure Plan. After a few recent comments, I decided to look it up. I believe this document does not have much worth and is not have any value to the residents of the town, but is a blueprint for developers on what they can build and where they can build. My question to you is, what was the cost of this report, including what costs have been incurred in implementing it? Would you like me to do two while I'm here? Or?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Question two. Last year around, I think it was June 25, Georgetown Council received an application for the building of a childcare centre. A company on the main in Victoria who had developed the plans and also advertised for a lessee for the building. Part of their comments was this: Georgetown is a home to over 7,000, is expected to experience a rapid population growth due to the expansion of Bell Bay Industrial Region and as a hydrogen hub. Point two, the federal government offshore wind power zone is stated to generate 18,000 jobs across the area. This impact on the local people, the infrastructure that we already have. My question to Council is, does Council agree to this view and has Council entered into any agreements to have this happen? Thank you.
Okay. For the first question relating to the cost of the Georgetown Area Structure Plan, we'll need to take that one on notice and we'll give you the feedback in the coming days or weeks once we've got the information at hand. The question around the population expansion, I'll hand that one over to the General Manager if you've got something to provide.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Council hasn't got any agreement in place with regard to offshore wind.
Do you agree with the comments that were made by this company?
I'd have to revisit that. I haven't seen the science. I haven't seen the science behind it to be able to validate whether or not we would agree with that or not.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from the public? We've got a hand over here. Just as you come up, and I probably should have said I'm familiar with Mrs. Rainbow. But can you just state your name and where you live? It doesn't have to be your address, but whereabouts.
Sure. My name's Angela Armstrong. I live at 11 Mariner Court, Bellboy Beach, and I'm very active with many in our community with relation to the proposed Bell Bay wind farm, which is so deceitfully named anyway because it's nowhere near Bell Bay. It's behind Bellboy Beach to Beechwood. I'd like an update on the council's, just an update on the wind farm and where we're at as far as the planning approval, etc.
Okay, I'll hand that one over to the General Manager. The Bell Bay wind farm isn't one that's in front of council at the moment. It's through a project of state significance or whichever process that's in. So I'll hand over to GM, who might have some comments on it, but it's certainly not before council at the moment.
Thank you, Chair. I think you might have covered it. It's not a council consideration. It is a state government consideration. So where that's at is probably a question best directed to the developer and the state government. I understand when it is submitted to the state government, though, there will be a public process that community members are welcome to make representation to. I understand if it's significant enough that they'll hold public hearings as well before the Planning Commission makes any decision on that application.
So what's the council's position with relation to ratepayers and how they'll be compensated should this thing be approved?
The council has no position on that matter. A negotiated process between developer and community.
So no discussions with Equus at all?
We are in conversations with Equus.
Okay, can we have an update on that then, please?
Our conversations are very much that we're expressing interest to be on their community benefit scheme committee or whatever that might be called. to make sure that we're advocating on investment on behalf of the community.
And do you think any possible compensatory project could ever make up for the destruction that this is going to cause to our community?
That's an opinion I can't answer.
You don't have a personal opinion about it?
I don't.
Okay, so when will we be able to have an update?
I might just pull you up there for a moment. As I read out before, there's two questions at a time.
Okay.
You've asked a number. If you'd like to pass over to someone else so someone else can actually ask a question, I'm happy to do that, and then you can come back if you like.
I'll hand over to Jill Harris, my colleague. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Gillian Harris. I'm a resident of Bellboy Beach and a fourth generation farmer from that area. We have created a protest group which has now got 800 members. We have delivered interviews to ABC, and we are looking at further media releases. And we are also planning a public meeting. Council surely needs to look at the opposition to this project and act on behalf of the residents of our community. That's not a question, that's a statement, sorry. My question would be, at what point do you intervene and look at the opposition that is presented by local residents towards this project?
Once again, I'll hand over the GM. I would say that the point that we would look at it is when we get to a stage where community can actually go through the process and have that conversation. But I'll hand over the GM.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Council's role, as I said earlier, is limited. It can make representation to the project or to the development as well, but it will do so in alignment with the planning scheme, and you'll hear shortly around what Council's role is as a planning authority very soon with the introduction of a couple of planning matters before Council today. But it is really around what's accurate with the scheme, local planning strategy, structure plans, infrastructure servicing, those kind of things that are typically assessed by a Council would be what Council would submit if it made any submission. It can't intervene, it can't refuse a permit, it has very limited role in this process. It's a reasonably recent change to the planning system in Tasmania for the purposes of state government doing the assessment.
Yeah. So my next short statement, this has been in planning since, you know, the mid to early 2000s, as you would be aware. There are caveats over other landholders' properties that have presented challenges. Is it possible that, as we're all ratepayers in the Georgetown community, is it possible to take something like this to a public ballot? I mean, we've been to the Equus, we've been to all the Equus spin doctor sessions. Mm. And they're not listening. Is it possible to ask the community what their thoughts might be?
Well, I think so, but I'm not sure what you would achieve in terms of what could council do when it has limited power in a situation.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm happy to talk offline around your available avenues and offer one of our planners to tell you how to navigate the state system.
Yeah.
Might be one way to pursue that.
I think one of the issues around this project has been that it's been very quiet for quite a long time, and now people are only just realising that it is a major project of significance, and so now we're getting community pushback. So we can expect that further into the future. But thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Another question over the back from Mrs. Rainbow.
Submission against a planning issue that you are going to discuss today, and I don't think you've included my submission in the agenda. Could you answer me if that's
yes or no, because I've got a stamped copy and I've got a letter from your planner saying to attend the meeting today because it was going to be discussed.
I'll hand over the GM again, but I understand. I've read your comments, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Has it been included?
Yes, it has. And
thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any more questions or Mr. Sheriff?
Thank you. I'm here with my fellow members of the Georgetown Weights Club and Georgetown Boxing Club. We've come today to the council simply because we understand after this meeting there'll be a closed session to discuss the expressions of interest for the YMCA building. We're here as a support of our submission to continue to doing what we do, where we do it. Currently the club is looking, we're putting around 200 people per week through that building currently. There's people coming from out of town, from Launceston, from as far as Cressy, all to come and train at that facility as well. So we believe what we've got and what we're building there and continuing to build there is something that we want to keep doing in that space as well. So we've gone out recently to businesses in Georgetown and received over $8,000 in donations just from Georgetown businesses to keep to buying more gear, to keep clubs and things as well. So we believe we have a community backing and continue to have that with that facility as well. And my question would be, all we ask is the council to remain open and honest with us as they have been in this process, so we can continue to deliver and I think make that building the best thing it can be for the Georgetown community.
I can commit from the Georgetown Council that we will be continue to be open and honest with you going forward.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries, thanks for the question. Are there any other questions from the public gallery? I'd say that's a no. We shall conclude public question time at 1:16 p.m. and move on to 5.4 on the agenda on page 11, which is response to questions from previous public question time, and there are none. Item 6 is the General Manager's Declaration, as you'll see it there on page 12. I'll take it as
If I may, thank you, Acting Mayor. I just want to bring it to the attention of elected members, those in the gallery, and anyone listening into the audio later on, that there is a couple of corrections that need to be made in the agenda today. The first one being at page 119. Recommendations 1 and 2 refer to the 25-26 financial year. That, of course, should be the 26-27 financial year. And again, on page 123, where we've set out fees, the table heading should read as of 30 June 2026, not 30 June 2025. Thank you for your attention, and I apologise for those typos.
Thank you, Shane. Item 7 is planning authority. Councils are a planning authority. Each council acts as a planning authority for their municipality. In this role, councillors consider development applications and make administrative decisions that are based on the council's planning scheme. While councillors are obliged to consider the community's views, this does not mean that they can vote in favour of those views while fulfilling the role of a planning authority. Councillors must make planning decisions based on whether a planning application is consistent with the local planning scheme, even if members of the community object to the planning proposal. On page 13, we have 7.1 DA 2025-64, which is a residential multiple dwellings of 11 new units in Lot 1, Franklin Street, Georgetown. And I've invited Senior Town Planner, Mr. Justin Simons, up to take any questions. The summary is on page 13. An application under Section 57 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 has been received by Council for a residential multiple dwellings or 11 new units at Lot 1 Franklin Street, Georgetown. One representation was received during the advertising period and has been considered in so far as it relates to the applicable performance criteria in Section 8 of this report. The proposal generally complies with the acceptable solutions and performance criteria of the planning scheme. The proposal is recommended for approval with a number of conditions to ensure compliance with the intent of the zone and the objectives of the standards. Do we have... find that the recommendation starts on page 45 and concludes at page 50. Do we have a mover? Councillor Orr. Seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Orr.
Yeah, I have been to move the recommendation as per officer's recommendation and with the conditions applied.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So as my practice, I like to read representations first to get a full understanding of what the concerns are from community and see how that relates back to our responsibilities under the Planning Commission. And what jumped out to me, which I have mentioned previously at workshop, was the soil testing or geotechnical reports that weren't there. And I now understand that that is something that is moved down to the building developments, but I wanted to offer that Mrs. Rainbow obviously has her concerns and that they haven't gone unnoted. It's just, yeah, how it aligns with the Planning Authority, unfortunately. At this stage, the fact that the zone is a landslip zone, that in itself acknowledges that there is risk, and that's when I guess the builders will determine at that stage you know, what needs to happen to make it a viable business product. But at this stage, our role is to make decisions in regards to the planning scheme. So with that, that was my only concern, and now I understand that, so happy to second.
Okay, are there any other speakers to or for or against the motion? Councillor Archer.
Thanks, Acting Mayor. I see Debbie Rainbow's submission on page 286 and 287 of the meeting attachments. So that's, it's good to read that and understand her concerns, similar to Councillor Lowe. These days they're dealt with at a different stage in the building stage with the soil conditions point. The conditions to in the recommendation, if it is to be approved, deal with a lot of issues that arise, but I can't see a problem with it. They looks to be a reasonable development. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Archer. Are there any other comments, questions? No, I'll return it back to the mover and Councillor Orr.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Interesting comments from fellow councillors, and I put the motion. Thank you.
All right, so all those in favour, please raise your hand, say aye. The motion is passed unanimously. The next item is 7.2 on page 52 of the agenda. Is a Tasmanian planning scheme, the Georgetown Combined 40T Scheme Amendment. So the summary on page 53 describes an application under section 42 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 has been received by Council to amend the Georgetown Local Provision Schedule. The application includes a rezoning of land at 1 Stonehouse Street, Georgetown, from future urban to general residential and low density residential, combined with an application for a subdivision of 20 lots and balance. Is DA 2026 number 4. Subdivision of land in the future urban zone is currently prohibited with some limited exemptions. The purpose of the amendment is to facilitate further subdivision of the land and to apply appropriate residential zoning. Council is required to decide whether to reject or initiate and exhibit the combined scheme amendment to the Georgetown Local Provision Schedule of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. We have motion 1 and 2 under the recommendation on page 95. through until page 102. Do we have a mover? Do we have a mover for motion one?
I'd like to move motion one, thanks, Chair.
Okay, Councillor Archer, move motion one. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Mason is a seconder. Okay, Councillor Archer, go for it.
Bit of a difficult proposal where developers try and accelerate development of land which is not zoned for residential development and try and progress through that process. I think that there's a lot of developed land, land appropriately zoned general residential in Georgetown. I don't intend to get in way of people's process, but this is not explicitly approving their plans, so I just think this is a way to let the developer proceed through. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. As Councillor Archer said, it's quite difficult, this proposal. And if I may ask the, through the Chair, ask the planner to probably expand on some of the pitfalls and difficulties this might face going forward.
Okay, thank you. Justin.
Through you, Acting Mayor. So this proposal is one which, as Councillor Archer has pointed out, there is a significant supply of demand of residential land in Georgetown. For various reasons, that land is not being developed. Various different constraints from feasibility to infrastructure prohibitions, all sorts of different reasons. So there is a risk, a substantial risk, that the development, this amendment won't proceed through the Planning Commission because of that oversupply. But generally, the proposal is consistent with Council Structure Plan. It allows for residential development where existing services are, and allows for limited development on the balance in the form of a low-density residential zone, which will function as a transition between the urban area and the rural land on that side of Georgetown. Being located on the peripheries, the inclusion of low-density residential land is generally appropriate. The other pitfalls potentially that it may come across going through the Commission is with respect to whether the low-density residential zone is the appropriate zone. Currently it is future urban. It is zoned as such to provide for future residential development. Essentially it's a holding zone, so it stops the land being carved up until such time as it can be developed for residential purposes. And the low-density residential zone is applied to land that can't be serviced. Now, in this instance, while I still consider the low-density residential zone to be somewhat appropriate for that particular location, that unrealised potential, should the land be serviced in the future, is something that the Planning Commission will take into consideration when they make the decision. There is scope, however, for the amendment to be adjusted. So in the event that Council considers that the zoning should change or be slightly different than that put forward by the applicant, Council either today could propose something different, or following the advertising period, Council also has the ability to take consideration of any representations received and amend the amendment accordingly. The Commission also has the power to approve or reject components, reject entirely, or direct Council to make minor changes, or direct Council to make significant changes and re-notify the proposal. So there is still some scope to explore those options moving forward. But as I said, on the face of it, this is not an adverse thing for Georgetown, except with respects to how it rigorously complies with that legislation.
Thank you, Justin. Are there any other speakers to the motion or against the motion? Councillor Orr?
Thank you. So this seems to me just we're following due process at this stage. It gives opportunity later on for the community to have their say through the public consultation, and I'd be interested to see that feedback at the time. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll return it to the move, and Councillor Archer. If there are no other speakers. And there are none.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It is reasonably complex to even for us councillors who are expected to act as a planning authority. I think this just allows us to get it to the planning commission if that's where it if that's where the developer seeks to go, and it be dealt with there with proper community consultation and proper consideration of Georgetown as a whole and the need for how much residential land needs to be released onto the market or available. With that, let's put the motion.
Thank you. Those in favour of motion one, please raise your hand or say aye. Unanimously supported. There's a second part to this, which is motion two, and that the application for use and development of subdivision of 20 lots and balance at 1 Stonehouse Street, Georgetown, be approved subject to the following conditions, and they're itemised below the motion. Do we have a mover for this motion? Councillor Orr, seconded by Councillor Lowe. Councillor Orr.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. So this is similar to the first motion, but is a little bit different aspect. It's going to look at zoning from future urban to general residential zone. This one looks a bit more, makes a bit more sense with the aspect. It's on existing street, existing infrastructure. And so happy to move the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thanks. Similarly to Councillor Orr, that it does make sense. There is development up there and new development, and so I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you very much. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Comments for or against? Councillor Archer.
Just a question for the planner, I suppose, just to confirm what I believe is the case. So the remainder of the lots that aren't to be... the remaining lot, I suppose, of that's not being proposed to be put into general residential, that will be, under this proposal, be low-density residential. Is that correct?
Through you, Acting Mayor. Essentially, yes. The subdivision proposal itself only applies to the part of the land proposed to be in general residential zone. The balance of the land will remain... low-density residential zone, and at the moment that will remain a single balanced lot, certainly with potential for further subdivision at low-density residential densities. But at this moment in time, the proposal is to just keep that as a single balanced lot.
Is that block currently zoned as low-density residential? At the moment?
No, the entirety of that parcel is currently the future urban zone. So it's proposing to change to a split between general residential and low-density residential.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other speakers to or against?
No? Well, I might just have a say now that I've asked me questions, Chair. I'd don't agree with the, I do agree with the frontage to Stanier Street, that its infrastructure is already there and that should be or could be developed to for housing under general residential, but it seems to be that the remainder of the block of the lot being zoned to be low density residential is sort of doing a halfway step to what's been flagged for the future, and that bit there I have a bit of difficulty with, and whether that's appropriate way to develop that land. But I'll leave that at that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I'll return that to Councillor Orr if there's no one else to speak. Councillor Orr.
Thank you very much, and I'll take those notes on with Councillor Archer regarding the future urban to low density, and I can totally understand his point of view there, but also understand his regard to the Planning Commission, and they might have a different view. So I think this might align with their view more than some of our councillors' views. So I put the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hand to say aye. Where are you on this, Councillor Archer? Okay, motion is carried. I support the motion. Thank you very much. Now, coming out of planning into item number 8, Office of the General Manager. 8.1 is Council Workshops of March and April. There's a list of the different topics we discussed in our workshops over those previous workshops. And there is Officer's recommendation on page 106. Do we have a mover? Thank you very much for coming, everyone. No worries. Councillor Mason, seconded by Councillor Ashley. Okay, Councillor Mason.
Just received a report for the council workshops held on the 24th of March and the 14th of April, 2026.
Thank you. Councillor Ashley.
Well, actually, I didn't attend one of the workshops on the 14th of April. I just noticed I didn't attend one of these workshops, so maybe I shouldn't be seconding it.
Doesn't matter. You can still
say
whether you're
okay.
There or not. That's fine.
Yeah, fine. I've read all the details on it anyway. I've read the minutes on it, so.
Fine. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from councillors? Councillor Archer.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to read into the record for the interest of transparency, the Tuesday, 14th of April, 2026 councillor workshop. Under the issue of governance on page 104, I did not participate in the discussions and wasn't present for the discussions for the community consultation of the Renewable Energy Community Benefit Scheme discussion paper or the Bell Bay Wind Farm Project Community Reference Group Expression of Interest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Orr.
Just comment to the gallery that if you look right through the items there, there has been a few items that we've been discussing at workshops. Bumped into the lady in the street just at lunchtime and she asked me what we do at the council, so I do encourage people to have a look at what we've been up to, and if you want any questions, please come forward and ask questions about what we've been doing.
Good comment, thank you. Are there any other comments or questions, or I'll turn it to the mover and Councillor Mason.
Some good comments, as you just mentioned, but put the motion. Thank you.
Okay, we'll put that on to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. We'll consider that unanimously supported. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is item 9, infrastructure and development. On page 107, 9.1, procurement policies review, and we have Director of Infrastructure. Infrastructure and Operations, Andrew McCarthy, coming to the table. And the decision or officer's recommendation is on page 110, if we have a mover. Councillor Lowe, and a seconder in Councillor Mason. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you. So I will admit that when I was first reading this, I was confused because I already thought that we were at a threshold of 250,000, and then I realised it was only 150,000, and I recall thinking, what can you buy for $150,000? And those sentiments were reiterated by the director. So, but I did also want to understand how much of an impact there would be if the contract's over 150,000 and below 250,000, how much would actually come back to council. And from our discussions, there was one that we could highlight at the time. So it wasn't a huge saving of time, energy, but this does align with the recommendations in the Local Government Act of their threshold amount. So even just in aligning ourselves with their practice, I'm happy to do so.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
This is a good policy. It's a policy that requires good governance and transparency in council operations. This is where we can get into trouble if we don't follow the guidelines, and they're all set out in this policy, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments or questions around the table? I'll take that as a no, and I'll return to Councillor Lowe.
Thanks, but yeah, just reiterating Councillor Mason's comments. It's a great document to read, and yeah, outlines everything. And yeah, thank you.
Fantastic, thank you very much. We will put that one to a vote then. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. That will be unanimously supported. Thank you very much for your time, Andrew. Well spoken. Okay, the next item is item 10 on page 111, Corporate and Community 10.1, Georgetown Council Audit Panel Committee firmed minutes. And we have the Director of Corporate and Community, Cheryl Hyde, coming up for any questions. The officer's recommendation is on page 112, if we have a mover.
So moved.
So moved, Councillor Orr, and seconded by Councillor Mason. Wear your arm out today, Winston. Councillor Orr.
Yeah, so I wasn't able to attend the audit panel meeting on the 18th of March, but I did have the privilege to go through the agenda and have read the minutes, so I'm happy to move this motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Mason.
Also willing to support those comments with being a member of the audit panel along with Councillor Archer. I can confirm that all is present and correct. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments or questions on the notes and the minutes of the audit panel meeting? I'll take that as a no, and I shall return it back to Councillor Orr.
Nothing further to add, so just put the motion. Thank you.
Okay, all those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. Unanimously supported. Thank you very much, Cheryl. We'll keep you here then. So the next item on the agenda is 10.2, Georgetown Council C09 Fraud Prevention Control Policy Review. The item starts on page 113 and the officer's recommendation is on page 115. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason. And seconded by Councillor Ashley. Thank you very much. Councillor Mason.
This also is an important policy for the operation of the Georgetown Council. And more than happy to put the motion. Ask councillors to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Councillor Ashley.
I agree with all Councillor Mason said. It's a very, very important policy, and I think it shows transparency as well.
Thank you very much. Are there any other speakers to or for the motion or against? Question? Councillor Lowe.
Yep, thank you. So can I just understand, I do admit that I didn't reread this policy this time it's been around. We have had this one across our table a number of times, and I've always had my questions asked and answered, but when we last spoke about it, there was the intention to make the actual prevention control plan an outward-facing document, and I'm just wondering if this review does do that, because I feel that the plan is key to the actual policy, so I want to see them side by side, so I just want to understand if that is still the case.
Thank you. Through the Chair to the Director of Corporate and Community, Cheryl Hyde.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, Appendix 1 is the plan, so it's attached to the policy via an appendix. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Councillor Orr.
It just with the consultation aspect, it says discussed at the Bass and Finners volunteer meeting on the 1st of April 2026.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor, we at workshop we discussed the impact that the fraud policy has on volunteers, and we were keen to determine that the volunteers had an opportunity to understand their responsibilities under the proposed policy and plan, and so the volunteer meeting of the Bass and Flinders was the area that we took it to, where they were consulted and provided with some explanations around what the plan would mean for them as volunteers for council.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, I'll return to the mover in Councillor Mason.
Put the motion. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. That will be unanimous. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Next item is on page 116, 11, Strategy, Performance and Development, and 11.1, Fees and Charges Compliance. Report recommends the rate for environmental health fees and charges and dog registration and management fees and charges to be set for the budget year 2026-2027. The Office's recommendation starts on page 119, and the decision is found on page 124. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason?
Nope. I'll move with the Office's recommendation with the date amendments from 2025/2026 to 2026-2027 in both recommendation point 1 and 2, and with the table in page 123 for re-registration of dogs to refer to 2026.
Thank you. So that's now captured. And the seconder is Councillor Mason. Thank you. Councillor Archer.
Thank you, Mayor.
Have you actually spoken, or have you just wanted to... You've only read out what your motion was, so would you like to speak to it?
I'm happy to waive that for momentum.
Thank you. Councillor Mason.
I agree with all Councillor Archer's comments, and just add that this is an actual area of good income for our council, which we need. We can't make it too expensive for the ratepayers, but it is a good income, and I fully support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mason. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Orr.
Just clarifying that for people who are listening out there in the gallery, that with re-registration, that if you come in before the 30th of June, you get a little bit of a discount. What's it, about 30% discount. So totally encourage anyone who does have a dog, hold dog, deceased dog, working dog, so on, and you haven't done the lifetime registration coming forward 30th of June.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments or questions? No, I shall return it to Councillor Archer. Thanks for coming up, Rick.
Thank you. Put it to the vote.
Put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye. Unanimously supported once again. Thank you very much. Item 12 on page 125 is Office of the Mayor, in this case the Acting Mayor. 12.1 is Matters of Involvement, Mayor, Deputy Mayor and the Councillors, and it's all there to be seen. The decision is on page 125 and concludes on page 126. Do we have a mover? Councillor Mason. And Councillor Lowe. Councillor Mason.
Thank you, Mayor. Matters of Involvement from Mr. Greg Keyser, Acting Mayor Greg Dawson and Councillor Jason Orr. I move the Office of Recommendation to receive the report and open the meeting for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments on the report? Councillor Orr?
Yes, so as Acting Mayor, Councillor Greg Dawson, just says April the 8th, ABC interview. It's very broad. Is that radio, TV? What was that interview? What did you discuss? Or
that ABC interview was one with the 7:30 report, and it was effectively on the topic of Liberty Bell Bay and its community impact. And I was interviewed because I'm an employee at Liberty Bell Bay, and also the acting mayor to give that perspective. It was aired, I think, the week after, and kind of prompted a bit of that response in community to what's happened in the last week with some activities around the Liberty Bell Bay site. And yeah, are there any other questions, comments?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It does generally remember. I actually did see that interview now, so it's quite good. Follow-on question is, attend Youth Impact Council meeting. How are the youth going?
Youth are going fantastically. The Youth Impact Council meeting was held on April Fool's Day, on April the 1st, usually around about 3 o'clock. They're well attended. Actually, we're at a point now with the amount of youth that get involved that we've almost run out of seats. So it's pretty good, I think, at the last call we had, and Councillor Ashley's with us, I think there was close on about 20-odd people in the room, so yeah, it was really good, and they've bought into quite a few of the sort of local initiatives. They've got some representatives on the Equus Wind Farm group that they're hoping to have a voice there. They've been communicated with them and a few other opportunities that they're advocating for locally. They recently had their youth forum that they had at the Memorial Hall, and that was attended by people from all over the north of the state, which was pretty good. Quite a few politicians there heard the message from our youth group, so that was pretty brilliant. They're doing a great job. Are there any other questions? Councillor Mason. Well, the funny thing about it, and we all like openness and transparency, that at the Mayor and Deputy Mayor's workshop, they effectively have Chatham House rules, they call them, where everything that's discussed there pretty much stays in-house. And what it is more around an opportunity for mayors and deputy mayors to pretty much chew the fat and have a conversation around what goes on in their communities, the issues that they've had, and how they can, I suppose, learn from each other on how to respond. respond to some of the difficulties that you have in the role. So that's pretty much what the workshop was. It's pretty much a round table that all the deputy mayors have their 5 minutes in the sun to describe the things that are going on in their patch, whether they be positive or negative, and how they might get a bit of advice from each other on how to run meetings and sort of interact with the community. So that's pretty much what happens at the mayor's and the deputy mayor's workshops. I don't see the mayor's one. Although I was acting mayor, I don't get invited to them. I only get invited to the deputy mayor's one, which was still interesting. And the Legat general meeting was the following day. General manager and myself attended that one, where we resolved there a couple of weeks, at our last meeting of our direction, and that was pretty much supported. We did have an email come through, general manager, in relation to the motions from that, did we not?
We did.
Would you like to speak to that? Have you got it up or not? Oh, I'll give you the heads up. You got all the time in the world, mate. Unless we can give you that information down the track. We'll email it out to everybody so they've got a copy of it.
Through, did you want me to provide that?
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. So we had a communique from LGAT sent out on the 14th of April confirming the motions put forward, one by the City of Hobart around second generation rodenticides. The council, Tasmania Council, has been encouraged to engage with their community to encourage avoidance of second generation rodenticides identified by the word poison on packaging as opposed to caution, and that they cease using such rodenticides at council facilities. That was carried. Another motion put forward from West Tamar Council was seeking from LGAT advocacy to the Tasmanian Government to remove or modify Section 57 of the Public Health Act, which requires councils to develop and implement an approved immunisation program within its municipal area. That the Department of Health take primary responsibility for the delivery of immunisation programs in Tasmania, for councils to choose to create immunisations programs, that these programs are carried by liaising with the Department of Health, who would be required to undertake that program. And if councils are approved to run approved vaccination programs, that they are fully reimbursed for the cost of that program. And that motion too was carried.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions? Councillor Ashley.
It's not actually a question, it's just a statement. I just wanted to say the Youth Forum had a skate jam at the skate park the other Saturday, and it was really, really represented and went off very, very well.
Thank you very much. I hope to attend that one, but I got wrapped into doing some other activities at the football club on the morning, so but thanks for that. Are there any other questions or comments? Take that as no, and I'll return it back to Councillor Mason.
Put the motion, thank you.
Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hand or say aye or nay or whichever you choose. Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, item 13 is petitions. There are nil. Item 14 is notices of motions. There are nil. Item 15, councillors' questions with or without notice. Are there any? We'll take that as a no. Item 16 is closed meeting, and 16.1 is inter-closed meeting. And I'll read this through because there's a number of items here. Council move into closed meeting at 1:58 p.m. to discuss the following items. Agenda item 16.2, minutes of the closed ordinary council meeting held on 24th of March. Agenda item 16.3, leave of absence. Agenda item 16.4, leave of absence. Agenda item 16.5, car park landscaping renewal proposal for the Georgetown Aquatic Health and Wellbeing Centre, and agenda item 16.6, which is a tender report for RFT 022026, supply and installation of rooftop solar voltaic systems, and item 16.7, expression of interest, Georgetown Community Centre, former YMCA building. Do we have a mover to go and close? Councillor Ashley. And Councillor Mason. Thank you very much. Thank you for all attending, and we shall see you at the next one, hopefully. Okay, so those we've got a vote to go into close first. All those in favour? Thank you.